The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
You know, have you had any instances of revisiting songs that you thought were stupid because you were like a teenager or something, and now you're like, nah, it's like Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J came on the radio. I'm like, yeah, this song goes hard, man.
It does go. It was a banger.
It was like the 90s channel, and then No Rain by Blind Melon. When you can finally listen to that song without thinking about the B-girl, you're like, yeah, this band was great.
Yeah, I always liked Blind Melon. They had a couple other good songs on that first album.
Yeah.
Tones of Home, that was one of my favorites.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah, this is
LL Cool J, that was a huge hit, Mama Said Knock You Out. It was, the video, just talk about like teenage aggression.
Well, but I didn't know if he was corny or not.
Well, he was kind of corny, but he was also pretty cool. You know, I know that's contradictory, but like he was corny in that, like I think this was a common complaint. He licked his lips too much. I don't know if that was like a sexual thing, like putting out the signs, putting out the vibes.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was. What do you think? You think he was just looking at a big old hunk of ham every time he was rapping?
Yeah, maybe he's looking at a cheeseburger.
Oh man, there's a big plate of corn on the cob. I just can't wait to get to after I'm done rapping.
I don't know why that reminds me of the, I was just rewatching that NWA movie. What was it called? I guess Straight Outta Compton. Yeah. And there was that scene. there was a scene where like some New York rappers were in town trying to record some stuff. And like,
they don't like New York
I mean,
rappers.
Obviously the bigger beefs, but like just hearing the detailed roasting of each other, talking about like the Kango hats and Jerry curls and shit. And that was a funny scene.
Well, so that, I think, because LL Cool J, he had, like, the earlier 80s stuff, and then when Mama Said Knock You Out, that was about the time that you had NWA and everybody else kind of doing way harder shit.
Yeah, never thought about
it. It's not like I wasn't plugged into it at all. I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, I was pretty into hip-hop in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, just for a couple of years. I think middle school had a lot to do with that because in elementary school it was just Def Leppard and Guns N' Roses and stuff. But then, and I think also the fact that I had zero black people in my elementary school, but then I moved to a different district and went to middle school where we had a lot more diversity. So I was able to hang out with some black kids, and they were all about some NWA and some Ice Cube and X Clan and who's Scarface, Bushwick Bill? What are they?
Ghetto Boys.
Ghetto Boys. Yeah, that was all. That shit was really popular.
And that
off
was
back
all.
Then,
they, so. I think they were Texas. They had like the Southern thing too. Mm-hmm. Well,
Houston.
Yeah, I had no diversity in school at all in regards to black people. Which is why I realize this joke that I'm trying to do right now about having confidence when you're older and how I don't panic when I fuck up a handshake with a black guy anymore. Maybe it's just not a hilarious joke, but also, you learned to dap when you were 11 or 12. I was in my mid-20s when somebody tried to a black person tried to dap me up, and I'm like, what's going on?
Hey, let go of my hand.
Yeah. What are you doing to me?
Mid-20s.
I'm trying. Listen, I don't know a lot of black people, but are you robbing me right now? What's happening? I don't want to assume because that's racist, but also, what are you doing with my hand?
Oh, my God. That's funny, dude.
Yeah, I just fucking, and so I never got the order right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a delicate thing.
But also,
it's easy to fuck up.
Yeah, like I didn't even know about I saw these people wearing Wu-Tang Clan t-shirts in high school, and it was usually the Filipino kids. And so, again, white suburban Kyle, I'm like, oh, it's like an Asian thing. Didn't know it was a rap group.
I mean, you know, phonetically.
Wu-Tang Clan. It's a good assumption. It's the Asian kids are wearing them. I'm like, it's probably an Asian thing. Had no idea it was a rap group for like 3 or 4 years of seeing Wu-Tang t-shirts. Nobody would tell me anything. Nobody clued me in. I didn't ask questions. Nobody was saying, hey, Kyle looks like he's pretty lost. Let's help him out.
Did you, you didn't have like a lot of diversity in your high school?
No. Well, I mean, I think we had maybe 3 or 4 black kids when I graduated, and it wasn't a small school. It was a lot of Latino, Indian, Filipino, but no black kids.
Huh.
And I don't know what the makeup's a certain, because it wasn't like, I'm not from an affluent suburb. But there wasn't a black community in Addison when I was growing up.
Yeah, it was a fascinating and welcome change of pace when I started interacting with some of the black kids in school. It's like, oh, okay, wow, a different. I mean, I didn't know anything back then about, you know, politics or culture or anything, but just on a base level, it was refreshing to interact with someone that didn't look and sound exactly like me.
Yeah, what's your home like? Oh, you got a bunch of different stuff here.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Cinco de Mayo, as we record this.
Drinking a Modelo right now. Buenos dias, David Stone.
Is it a can or a bottle?
It's can.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I like the... I prefer a can back in the day.
We sound like the white people that want to prove they're not racist. I love a Mexican lager. I actually prefer them.
Oh, what I wouldn't do for an ice cold can of Modelo.
Yeah, you're just,
still no booze. Still no booze.
Good on
almost
you,
man. Almost 5 months.
Good on you.
Let's see. Jamie,
high as shit right now, huh?
No, not yet. I do that when the sun goes down.
No, I couldn't be stoned and do the podcast. I know that much.
No, it's not very enjoyable, I would imagine.
It's a solo venture for me. Maybe we do mushrooms one of these days.
Yeah, mushrooms. I can't remember the last time.
Really get fucking
those
weird.
Are fun. Yeah. You did them last time you were over here.
Oh.
Inadvertently. Weren't you microdosing?
Yeah, I did. It was not a microdose. Mm-hmm. And then it was a whoopsie dose. and this will come full circle, because I wound up at some bar in Echo Park, which now, for the listeners, Echo Park is near Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, a traditionally Latino neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And another comic friend, well, Dave Ross, it was not like this is bad, but Dave Ross... great comic. He lives in New York now. He was back in LA visiting too. And so he was out. And so I went to the show they do at Stories Cafe out there. And then we all walked to a bar that was like a new Latin bar. So it wasn't some like old neighborhood type thing. It was like a new spot, but it was a Latin themed bar. And Dave, everybody's had their drinks. Dave's talking to his girlfriend and he's just going, yeah, because this was a Mexican neighborhood. It was all Mexicans here. There are Mexicans that lived here. And he's not doing anything wrong. But also, yeah. In my head, like, I'm on mushrooms. And I'm also like, well, it's not just Mexicans. It's Latinos.
Yeah, but not just Mexicans.
But I the way it came out of my mouth, I'm like, stop saying Mexican so much without
it's not a slur.
I know, but without explaining myself. I'm like, stop saying, he's like, what's wrong, Kyle? They're Mexican. It's where they're from. And I'm like, I gotta go. and then when I wasn't trying to like be in a crowd, so I was just on the sidewalk and just watching everybody walking by, and it was like a fun, nice weather night, and people were having, the music was vibing. Then I was like, oh, mushrooms rule. Just don't make me don't make me talk to anybody. Just let me observe.
Yeah. Yeah, with the right dosage and the right environment and the right company, it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was telling Rachel, I'm like, I don't know, man. These are micro doses. She's like, which colored package do you take? I was like, the blue one. She's like, oh, honey. no, those are full. I'm like, welp, I'm in a way right now. it was all good. I just need to, as I have to do with mushrooms, usually is just break off on my own and vibe out. But anyway, yeah.
I don't know if I told you this story. Back when I had that spot over in East Hollywood about 10 years ago, friend of a friend, definitely a comic, I would assume, hooked me up with a mushroom contact. And this is totally true. I text this guy. We start conversing. He said I would need to come to his place and pick it up. Mm-hmm. He was literally two doors down. He was my neighbor, and I didn't even know him. How convenient. I was like, no shit. Like, literally not like two buildings down. We were in the same building, the same wing of the same building. He was literally 22 feet down the hall.
Was it a comic?
Kinda. I don't want to out him.
No, that's what I was saying. Know him. Well, because it was somebody that was the hookup before, and they were growing
comedy
their
adjacent.
Own. They were growing their own, and they were good. Mm-hmm. They were good. And remember Rachel trying to hook it up later, and the guy was like, oh, well, clearly it's been a while. He's like, I'm out of the game now. Like, okay. They were good, too.
But, yeah.
That's nice.
How convenient.
Got your guy right down the hall.
Mm-hmm. Worked out pretty good. But yeah, Cinco de Mayo, I made. I just got a hankering today for some chicken salad.
Oh, David, and your hankerings.
These hankerings are powerful. but I freestyled some Mexican chicken salad.
Latino, just, Dave. They're not all Mexican.
Well, these were. By the way, that is what an offensive thing for someone. Like, I know. Where I grew up in Georgia, we did have a lot of Latinos, primarily Mexican. We had a lot of Hondurans, and a lot of Guatemalans.
Yeah.
And, but just to discount, they're all Mexican. Like, right now, go to Canada and call a Canadian an American and see if they would take offense to that. I mean, I feel like that's the least we could do. I'm not trying to be uber woke, but like the least we can do is try to get someone's nationality right. If we're talking about it, like
it,
you know,
to Dave's credit, he wasn't trying to say this in any sort of derogatory way or anything. And it is, I mean, it makes sense that it is primarily Mexican. That's the,
sure.
That's who we bought. It's Southern California. That's the country that borders. It is majority. It was Mexico.
It was Mexico before it was
it
California.
It was Mexico. Mm-hmm. But I was being sensitive about the inclusion, especially just being in a Latin nightlife spot in Echo Park, like in a gentrified Latin spot. Like I was mm-hmm. seeing all the details of the drunk white dudes hanging out in the previously Mexican neighborhood that's gentrified with a new Latin restaurant going, it used to be all Mexicans. It was Mexicans before. Before we were here, it was Mexicans. Now it's not Mexicans because we're here and this Corona is $11. It was just, that's what I was like. I just kept hearing the word Mexico. Like, shush.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Tell me about this.
It's not a slur, but sometimes
no,
it sounds.
No, but tell me about this true to our hermanos y hermanas.
I was wondering where
the
going.
South. Yeah, I was trying to remember. Brothers and sisters to the South.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just freestyled this. Real loose recipe here, but get you some chicken. Preferably some chicken thighs. You could
pollo.
Do boneless. You
it's
could do bone in.
Pollo in this situation.
Yeah, it's called polo. what I do is I get the boneless, skinless thighs. I mean, if I could find the bone out, skin on, that's preferred. Those are hard to find. But, yeah, anyway, get some boneless chicken thighs. Season them up with some salt, pepper, garlic powder. If you got some of that tahini, hit it with that. Roast in the oven for about 30, 35 minutes at 400 degrees. While that's going down, get you some plain Greek yogurt. Throw that shit in a bowl. This is going to take the place to mayonnaise. Going to make it a lot less calories, a lot less fat. Throw a little plain yogurt in a bowl. Chop up a few cloves of fresh raw garlic, dice that up, throw that in there. Take about half of a lime, squeeze that juice in there. Get you some green onions, throw that shit in there. Chopped up cilantro, throw that in there. Get you a can of pickled jalapenos.
Okay.
Chop that shit up, throw that in there. So now, as far as the dressing, if you will, we got the yogurt, we got the lime juice, we got the fresh garlic, we got jalapenos, we got cilantro, green onion. You could throw in some more of that tahini, a little salt, pepper, garlic powder, whatever. Mix all that shit up. When your chicken's done, let it rest for 10 minutes. Chop that shit up. Throw it in there. Mix it all together. Throw it in the fridge for about 30 minutes to an hour. Just let it kind of get cold and marry all together. And boom, you got Mexican chicken salad. It's delicious. You could also throw some pico, some avocado, whatever you want. Get in there.
I was going to say, no corn.
Yeah, corn. Yeah, that would work. I didn't have a can of niblet corn. But yeah, that would work, I would imagine. For sure. Get creative.
Because I feel like I always think corn is like, I don't know, that once you get it, I think once you taste that, the Mexican street corn.
Elote.
It's hard to not want that in everything.
It's so good. Yeah. I love that shit.
We talk
good
about
stuff.
Did we talk about corn ribs before?
Yeah. That seems to be a trend.
It's a trend, but I got no problem with it. It was a fun new way to eat some corn.
I used to do that as a kid. We would always mom would serve corn on the cob, and it was just too much of an event to gnaw on that.
It's
in
a
the
production
way. So I would saw it off with my knife, and I was always pleased when I would get a big rib, big chunk that stayed together. It was fun.
Oh, corn, old yellow belly corn ribs over here. I think Casita Campo. I don't know. La Casita. Some Mexican spot by the last office job I had in Burbank, California.
Mm-hmm.
Just Mexican Caesar salad with the grilled chicken on it. Okay. I don't know why. It was just simple. But they did it was the grilled. Let me ask you this, Dave. You fuck around with El Pollo Loco?
I used to, for sure. It was we didn't have those in Georgia, so when I first moved out here, I was very excited to see El Pollo Loco, especially their value menu. I'm sure it's changed quite a bit in the 14 years since I've been here, but used to, you could get a chicken leg, a roasted, a whole chicken leg for like $1.29. Get that in some little bullshit tortilla wrap-up thing for 99 cents. I could eat pretty good for under $3.
Yeah, I don't know why I was late in the game to learning how good El Pollo Loco was.
Yeah, and it's solid. You know, compared to its competitors.
They're just doing chicken. They're not fucking around with this other stuff.
Yeah, I like the chicken Taco Bell model. I like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What's going back to like a traditional Mexican restaurant, what's your go-to order? I don't know if you treat it like McDonald's where you always get kind of the same thing. I mean, do you have a traditional order at a Mexican spot?
I mean, the vegetarian thing, it really squashes a lot of good Mexican food, unfortunately.
There's a star on the vegetarian menu at most Mexican spots. I leaned on.
Chili Relleno?
Chili Relleno, yeah.
Yeah, Chili Relleno is good.
Love that.
I love it too, but when I'm sitting there looking at like albondigas, I love that. Oh, a little Mexican, that greasy Mexican soup they'll give you.
Yeah.
For me, for some reason, I don't know why, if I just didn't see this because I wouldn't look at the seafood section before, but I'll still fuck around with some seafood. Camarones a la Diablo. Oh, yeah.
Little fiery shrimp.
Devil shrimp, yeah.
Devil shrimp, I like it.
Yeah. So that, if I'm really horny for some meat, I'll get the devil shrimp. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, what I will say is bad is when you get the veggie burritos and they just have the bag of steamed vegetables and it's like, oh, it's carrots and broccoli and cauliflower, like the side of vegetables you'd steam and serve for a complete meal. And they just put them. I don't want this. I want the rice and the beans and the I want all the other stuff you would do with a regular burrito, just no meat. And Chicago understands this. Chicago also, all the refried beans are still not vegetarian, so I understand that that's where that's like one of the trip ups for them. But no, just give me all the cheese, beans, lettuce, tomato, all that other stuff. Just leave the meat out. That's the burrito I want. Not this substituted with a government mandated prison vegetable side. You know, I don't want that at all.
No. Oh, I do love a good Mexican restaurant. I told you about years ago when I was a vegetarian. I was a vegetarian for about 3 years, right when I started comedy, like 06 to 09. And I only did it because the gal I was with, she started being a vegan. And I was like, well, I can't go vegan, but I'll try this vegetarian shit, see if I can lose some weight. And I didn't cook a lot back then, neither did she. So we ate out a lot. And if you're both vegetarian, there's not a lot you can eat. So we ate
in rural
this
Georgia.
Mexican spot. Yeah, we ate at this Mexican spot literally like three or four times a week. We just go get bean burritos and a side of rice. And she definitely checked to make sure that the beans didn't have any pork fat or anything in them. So three times a week we're in there eating bean burritos and rice. And got to know the staff. They were so friendly. Got to know the manager. Just, you know, we became regulars over the course of a few years. Well, I swung in there. Oh, one time we were in there, and the guy next to us, the table next to us, gets the big old, I didn't even know they had this, they had a big old Mexican ribeye.
Okay.
You know, it's not a great-looking cut of steak, but, you know, it's a Mexican restaurant's version of a grilled ribeye.
Yeah.
And, man, that thing just looks so damn good. So, and I was also, had my own landscaping business at the time, so, like I said, we would eat dinner there three or four times a week, and once or twice a week for lunch, I would double back and have my own thing. But one day, I went in there, and they were like, "Hey, bean burrito and rice," and I was like, "Not so fast,
not today, brothers and sisters."
Like, they knew that the fat bearded white guy who always had grass stained socks, they knew that for some reason he was a vegetarian. But I ordered that ribeye, and I talked to the waiter and the manager. I was like, "Hey, look, I know this all sounds kind of fun and games, but when I come in here tomorrow night or whenever with my gal, this never happened. This never fucking. It's kind of like in Sopranos when Tony brings his girlfriend in on Friday night to a restaurant, and then takes Carmella there the next night to the same restaurant, and the maitre d' goes, "Mr. Soprano, where you been? We ain't seen you in so long. Like, you definitely weren't here last night with another woman."
Yeah.
Someone knows
how to get a good tip out of me.
Yeah, but and they went along with it. So like the next time we, you know, my gal and I were there, they were just like, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, like it never happened, and then it kind of came a routine thing. So I would cheat. I felt like I was cheating on her, but I would cheat on my diet a couple times a month at the Mexican place getting the ribeye, and it was, it was a pretty dark period in my life. But it was all right. It was a good time.
It's living a double life.
I've complained about this here in L.A.
Steak fueled Dave during the day.
You can't get the white queso dip in L.A. I miss that.
I feel like that's – you can't get queso dip in L.A.?
Mm-mm. No, not the white – some places got the fundido. It's more the orange with the chorizo in it, and that's good, but it's not the same. I'm talking just the white, goopy, gringo Mexican restaurant queso.
Okay? All right, well, buddy, get ready. Okay, good old Reddit. Is there any place 5 years old? Is there any place in LA one can get queso pictured here? This is they're looking at just a dish of white queso.
Oh yeah,
right there. Somebody said Home State.
I don't know Home State.
Home State was in Los Feliz. They were kind of like the big. They're more of like a Texas, like breakfast taco place.
Whereabouts? Do you remember?
On Hollywood. Where after it breaks off, after Sunset, after Hollywood and Sunset's
Cross. Right around there, like near the thrift store there, that area?
Yes, right across from that. Yeah, across from Plant and everything.
Yeah.
Wacko.
Okay.
Somebody said, the people are agreeing with you. Probably the best option. The queso game in L.A. is not strong.
No.
Somebody, I guess and there's a place called Justin Quesos.
That was such a part of the experience, too.
I gotta look up Justin Quesos.
Justin Queso. I'm wordplay restaurants.
Listen, man, I'm pretty wiped out from the bike ride, and this kind of humor's really getting to me right now.
We got a burger place over
permanently,
here called...
Permanently closed. It didn't make it.
We got a burger spot nearby called Burger She Wrote. You know, referencing that 45-year-old CBS old lady drama. Burger. I swear to God, in 2026, Burger She Wrote.
What do you mean it's dumb? I already got the sign made.
And I heard an ad today in Atlanta. I listen. Oh, by the way, did I tell you you're all over the sports talk radio station I listen to every day?
Wait, what?
Shout out to 680 The Fan in Atlanta. I listen to Chuck and Chertoff's. It's the only really show I lift. Their midday show. Anyway, they've just got one of these little station promos because they're the home of the Atlanta Braves. You can listen to all their games on that channel. And there's something like, why would you listen to the Braves on any other channel than 680 The Fan? And then I swear to God, there's a clip of you going, yeah, that's stupid. I'm like, that's Kyle. They pulled a clip from you, and they've been using it for a couple of years now. Yeah, that's stupid.
Well, I'm waiting for the check, boys.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say, listening to that channel, I heard a new business called Dr. Roof. It's a roof repair business called Dr. Roof. Not the roof doctor, which would make sense, but I'm assuming they're going for that Dr. Ruth.
I would say, unless they're following through with like some real sexual innuendos, or the ad is read by like a small woman with a, I don't know what her accent is.
What was she, Russian?
I'm gonna look. I'm on the computer. Polish? I'm here for the facts, Dr.
That
Ruth,
was always a bit off-putting.
German American.
Listening to an elderly, diminutive, grandmotherly type talk about penises and vaginas.
That was the, shit. Okay. How about this tidbit I just found on the Jewish National Fund? Okay, hold on. I'm getting through this. She was trained as a scout and a sniper for the IDF.
No way.
During
Dr. Ruth?
Dr. Ruth.
Talk about body count. Hey.
She gonna plug you. Because of her diminutive height of 4'7", she was trained as a scout and a sniper and became proficient with the Sten guns and grenades. During Israel's War of Independence, Ruth suffered a near fatal wounds in a mortar attack in Jerusalem.
Jesus.
She got blown to bits. She fucking Humpty Dumptied herself back together and then talked about boners and pussies for the rest of her life.
gonna teach America how to orgasm. Oh, boy. Dr. Ruth.
Time to... All right. This is a bad joke about holes in your body, but all right. Anyway, there's a picture of her, too. Oh, Carola Ruth Westheimer. Yeah. Okay.
Sexy.
Wow. You know what? I wonder if... I'm not going to say I wonder if... I you know, give it up for her for just being about... Let's talk about this stuff and stop being hung up on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a fine line there, though. You know, I don't think she should be hung up or be a prude, but also there's a time and place.
She's a fun, spunky, personality-filled lady that would also try and get you to have better sex. Good on you, Dr. Ruth.
But yeah, who signed off on Burger She Wrote or Dr. Roof? Like, what are we doing here, folks?
Do you ever see there's businesses that will go under, and I'm like, yeah, who are we Dave, as comedians, to say anybody should not pursue their dreams. But
that's true.
But when you've seen businesses open up, and I'm like, well, you clearly have mommy daddy money that you're pissing away, or this is like, or the you know, the model of open business. If they fail, it's a write off. You just keep doing it. Like every time, it's like, oh, this is just, we only sell cupcakes. Fuck you.
Why? What's wrong with that? How's that different than Krispy Kreme only selling donuts?
Donuts are a staple.
Mm-hmm.
Cupcakes.
You don't like a good cupcake?
Cupcakes aren't there.
That was a big trend about 15 years ago in Atlanta, like the gourmet cupcake.
No, it was
shops.
A big trend and everywhere. They were good. And it went
they were
away
good, but,
because they yeah. only sold cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think donuts are easier to mass produce and churn them out. That's why that business is successful. Mm-hmm. Cupcakes. Nobody wants a whole cupcake in an office. You look like a pig.
Nobody wants a whole cupcake. I want a whole cupcake.
You ever get? I love when you go to the office part. Or somebody's cut a donut in half, and then somebody cut that in half, and then there's like an eighth of a donut. Just eat the fucking half a donut, you children.
What are you doing?
You children. Yeah. Bunch of babies. Eat a donut. You work.
Speaking of pastries. I had my sugar cheat day Friday. Once a month, I get sugar. Once a month. And boy, did I make it count.
What, are you just going to eat a bag of caramels like a horse with an oat bag strapped to its face? What did you do?
Suck down a whole bottle of Hershey's syrup.
Just.
Did we talk about fat yogurt just, last time? I tell you about my fat yogurt? Dude.
Fat yogurt?
Well, I've been eating a lot of just regular non-fat Greek yogurt as part of my regular diet, and every time I'm choking this slop down, I'm always thinking how good it would be if you could mix in some stuff, not unlike a Cold Stone Creamery. Like, this yogurt's okay, but what if I could put stuff into it? And I think I may have talked about this last time, but I've added to it, so regardless.
Well, it's pink berry.
Yeah, get you some. No, but this is like regular yogurt, not the frozen stuff. Yeah, I was very excited about this idea, and then Katie was like, "You mean like frozen yogurt?" Like, oh, well, yeah, okay. Anyway, but no, I've never seen anybody do this with regular yogurt. But you get you some yogurt. I get the little Chobani strawberry.
Froyo-ma, that's the name of it. I just want to come up with fun businesses for the thing.
Froyo-ma. Get you some yogurt. And the Chobani already has at the bottom, you know, the fruit on the bottom. They put a little jam or something in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, add some more jam. Get your own secondary, secondhand jam.
Just add more of the stuff they already got in there.
Yeah, yeah. Add some more.
Recipes are getting lazy, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Add some strawberry jam. Add some honey. And then get, this is the topper, crushed up Ritz crackers. Mix
Ooh,
all that shit up.
Salty, not a granola.
You could do a. I mean, you could. It works with almost anything
but the
that you
salty
could
crackers and the yogurt. So that's that was a hard left turn for me right there.
Yeah, I wanted I wanted some graham crackers, but we don't keep those in the house. I think that would be equally, if not better good. That jam and the Ritz crackers. Add that in, a little honey. You could even do some real fruit, sliced up strawberries, some blueberries, whatever you want. But yeah, just take your yogurt and fatten it up
Ritz
a little bit.
Crackers.
Boy, I had a good time. I had that, and I had a bunch of eclairs. I went to this little bakery, got some goddamn eclairs.
Oh, I thought they were
like
in
a little
the
dandy
yogurt.
Boy. No, oh, I could like a ciabatta, like a bruschetta kind of thing. Yeah, dip it in there. Okay. Okay, dip the eclair in the fat yogurt.
Get the eclair, go on, bite both ends off, blow the cream out of it, fill it with the yogurt. You can feel the pounds melt away.
I gained 4 pounds in one day.
Get you one of them compressed air keyboard cleaners. You use that, you blow all the cream out of there. That's what's bad for you in an eclair is that cream.
I do love that cream, though. Especially when it's more of a buttercream and not a custard.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't know why anybody would ever use custard when buttercream exists. But that's a story for another day.
I get, well, I mean, you know, putting my days into the donut factory. I don't mind a Boston cream, which is usually custard.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but it's nowhere. It's not even in the same ballpark as a good butter cream.
She's a real
bunch
butter
of Vaseline.
Cream. God,
real butter,
yeah.
She's a real butter dick. Whose joke was that?
Nick Vatterott's.
She's a real butter dick.
This new gal, she's a real butter dick. So fucking stupid.
Oh, God.
It's one of those ones I heard. And I was just like, fuck you, man. That's yeah. So funny.
That dude. Oh, my God. That dude's funny.
Attention, all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Where was
Shout out to Nick Vatterott. Look him up if you don't know Nick Vatterott.
I am so cooked on where I was. Oh, I was in. All right, never mind. Sorry. I've just been on the
What's
road.
On your
I've
mind,
been Kyle? I've been on the road so much I can't remember where I was this week, 2 days ago.
Where were you?
I was in Hood River, which it was great.
Okay.
It was great. I've been on the road every weekend. Mm-hmm. Like I can't like was I in Houston? No, Houston was 2 weeks. When was I in Fort? Oh, that was 3 weeks. Like I'm kind of.
I don't know how you do it, man.
We're dialing it down for summer. So.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
A couple more weekends out, and then your boy is just drinking micheladas in the kayak.
There you go. You got any plans? Like, if you taking any leisure trips or anything?
I got nothing. I'm going to try and get a backpacking trip in there. I got some regional comedy stuff that I'm going to do some biking alongside of. But as I'm looking, you said that, I'm looking at my calendar. You know what I do have planned for July 21st?
What's that?
I'm going to go see Ricky Rackman do spoken word.
What? Fucking why?
Which, to tie it full circle, Justin Queso was located right on the Sunset Strip by where the Cat House used to be, which was, I believe, Ricky Rackman's club in the heydays of hair metal. Because I want to hear stories about hair metal.
Headbangers Ball.
Yes. Exactly. I want to hear Ricky mm-hmm. Rackman tell me fun stories. Maybe there was a question and answer part.
Oh, man. That's funny, dude. Well,
and that was,
for you.
Of all the concerts I missed, this is the one I put in the calendar months in advance. Ricky Rackman's spoken word.
Spoken word, boy. That is.
I don't want to miss that.
That is a broad term. I told you I saw Henry Rollins' spoken word.
Yeah.
And left. He walked me after 3 hours. I was like, Henry, I love you, but I got to go. Went and saw him on Valentine's Day, probably 2002. And about 3 hours into it, my gal and I were like, what the fuck is he still doing?
I mean,
just spoken word. Like, and I like Henry Rollins fine enough, but yeah. Like, you know, there's this thing called stand-up comedy, but the only difference is it requires you to, you know, be funny and somewhat concise.
Yeah, well, that I don't get mad when comedy clubs will have wrestlers come through or soap stars or celebrity and celebrity adjacent folks where they might not be doing stand up, but they're not going to sell a theater. Like they're on the I need money
sure.
circuit of their life. And, well, here's a place where they're going to serve you food and drink at your seat. That's what these people want. And so here's a venue with the sound built in and all this. And so I don't mind that kind of stuff. With the Henry Rollins thing, I remember trying to, like, listen to it and just thinking, like, all right, nobody – I wonder if he's so intimidating, even though I heard he's a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's going to give him notes. Nobody's like, maybe 2.5 hours. Maybe we tighten up some of these stories.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot to sit through.
Yeah.
He's an entertaining guy, but 3 hours of just rambling.
That's, yeah, I can't think of anybody I'd want to. Well, these, but I mean, I didn't, I think I was on Kreischer's podcast years ago, and it was going to be 3 hours. I'm like, who listens to anything Jesus. For 3 hours? And he goes, truck drivers. I'm like, oh, I didn't think about.
Who listens to Bert for 3 hours?
Well, that's a
oof.
And again, but also, and shout out to everybody that said nice things, and they're happy that the Boogie Monster's back, and the guy at the bar last night who just said, "Hey, Kyle, when's Dave coming here?" I didn't know this guy. You gotta get Dave up here. Well, all right, I'll tell him. So I'm telling you, Dave.
Where was that?
Sky at the bar. Sky at the Goodfoot last night. He wants you up here. He didn't say for comedy. He just wants you. He just wants to see you. He just wants to see you around.
Yeah. Sit a spell with that guy.
You've been missed.
I got a few admirers out there. So, you know, I need to make an appearance here and there.
Yeah. What do you call? I call the fans Canadiacs. You got anything for the Stone Colds? There's already a guy with that one.
I think Dave I call my
Dave
fans
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I think my fans are called. Are you sure?
Are you thinking of somebody
Me?
Else?
Question mark.
This Dave Stone, but some people they just it's what I came to realize with this show, Dave,
mm-hmm.
where you know we ended it and I was like existential about how many opinions need to be taken up cloud space or any kind of extra technology or electricity, but. People just put it on because it's like, oh, it's like I'm hanging out with a couple people that I know.
Yeah, I get that.
And it's not funny all the time, but mm-hmm. it's entertaining to eavesdrop on these two people who get along. And so that's why people listen to a 3 hour long podcast. I reckon.
Yeah.
I might need to get some Tums.
What's wrong, buddy?
I got two big hot dogs for lunch.
I had a nickel.
I was at the food cart pods. There was so many options, and I was like, "Oh, two big hot dogs." They were veggie dogs, but I got a bunch of bullshit all over them, and I got onion rings. I got basically in a commercial for heartburn. I ordered that. Like I took a commercial for Tums to the place and said, "Make me what this guy is suffering from."
You still, how's your fitness levels these days? I know you're riding the bikes. You doing anything else?
I got back from Houston. I was out with Shane Brendan. We're in Houston, Texas. Oh, yeah. I have to say special thanks to, I think it was Caesar or Caesar. I know Caesar's like the white guy way of saying it, but Caesar.
Mm-hmm. Caesar.
Yeah. Gave me a couple hats, a couple of cool Texas hats from the show. I was very grateful for that. And an older woman, and I did not get her name. It was her birthday, but she just brought me a little gift bag. She's like, "Are you sober?" I'm like, "No." She's like, "Okay, well, these are Cheech and Chong gummies." And she was a little older woman. And she's like, "These are cheap. They ship anywhere." So I'm like, "Oh," I'm like, "I don't care. I'll fly with them." And she gave me a bunch of Cheech and Chong gummies. It was her birthday. And I didn't get her name, and I feel like an asshole for that. I don't even know if she listens. But you could tell she dragged her friends out to the show because it was her birthday. And I don't know if they liked it, but she did. She was a sweetheart.
That's great.
Yeah, so it was fun shows out there, fun shows in Hood River. But
that's flattering, by the way, that somebody would want to spend their birthday with you.
It's
not. I mean, it's flattering. I'm not saying it's crazy. Like, why would
anybody?
No. That's cool.
Anytime somebody drove more than an hour. People are like, "Yeah, we came from 4 or 5 hours." I'm like, "Where are you? I will get to you, but thank you so much." And I always hope the show's worth it. You know, you're doing 5 shows in a weekend and you like, "Well, that was the best show." Well, the show, nobody knows which show was better than the other one. They just know the show that they went to. And my promise is that I will never phone a show in. They might get weird. They might go off the rails. But unless the whole crowd is dickheads, which has never happened, I will not phone it in.
Good.
I will put the work in. And so I hope all these people that, because I mean, I wasn't selling great in Houston. It was kind of half full and this and that, but all right. But that's half full of people that want to be there. So let's go. But the hotel was a nice hotel, but it had like a lot of mirrors in it. Blah. Bad news. Yikes. Just, I think, just seeing, you ever just, this is great. Like just in a, like a hotel, like it's all white and it's well lit. And you're just folded over taking a shit, but you could see yourself in the mirror. You're like, this is.
Oh, yeah.
This is a last known photograph. Like, that one, that bummed me out enough that I got back last Sunday and I'm like, nope, we got to get it. I can't be. I'm going to be old and bald. I can't be fat, old, and bald.
Yeah, same. I mean, I am, but I'm trying to change that.
Yeah, I got to control. So I rode a bunch last week. I'm riding now. I got to do a little more upper body stuff, but I started riding the bike a lot the last week and a half just because good lighting and lots of mirrors. Boy, got that spare tire going on. I'll tell you that much.
I'm the incredible shrinking man.
Yeah, you're going the other way, and you're miserable because of it.
Yeah, I'm down 46 pounds since January 1st. I got a new exercise that you could try. Now, I don't know if this does anything. I feel like it does. But yesterday, I've been trying really hard.
Go to Glendale and street fight Armenians that cut you off.
I did almost get in a fight today. Had an incident at the post office.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Dude didn't want none. I don't know if this works, but it's working for
me. You're the slowest version of falling down.
it's been a long descent.
Yeah, it's not all in one day, but it's really parsed out over several years, which is everybody's life. Right, so, go on. Yeah, sorry.
As you know, it's baseball season.
Sure is.
I'm obsessed with watching my Braves. By the way, literally, this is no Dave hyperbole. Literally, statistically, record-wise, everything, the best team in all of baseball right now. So go Braves.
Okay.
Not the NL. Both AL, NL, whatever. Best team, best record. We're kicking ass.
All right.
Times are good in Braves country. Anyway, so I watch a game every day. But that, you know, I can't just sit on my ass. I mean, I have for many a years, but I can't, you don't want to just sit on your ass the whole 3 hour game. So in between innings, every time they go to commercial break, I try to do some exercise. Well, yesterday I just wasn't feeling it. Mm-hmm. Usually I do these, I told you the thing about I call them chair tappers, where I just stand in front of a chair and I take two dumbbells and I hold them completely over my head, like a shoulder press. Mm-hmm. And then I'll lift one foot up and touch the chair and put it down, and then I'll lift the other foot up and touch the chair and put it down. The whole time, I do 50 of those between every inning.
Okay.
And then I add an extra one. I do 500 a game. So I do 10 sets of 50. Yeah, so that's been working good. But yesterday I just wasn't feeling it, but I still had the dumbbells, and this has got to work something, right? So take your dumbbells. I got the 25s that I do with this. So I'll just stand up straight and hold each dumbbell in each hand down by my side, and I just stand with good posture for the entire commercial break. And
get you some longer arms by the end of the game.
Yeah, it's something, you know. And then sometimes I'll do it in the game and see if I can last the entire inning or the entire half inning. And sometimes I can do that if it's a quick inning and I'm feeling good. But yeah, just kind of standing in kind of a locked, tense posture, trying to get your posture right, but just kind of standing there, knees slightly bent, and then just the dumbbells, you know, hanging by your sides, and just hold that position for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And
I think anything,
something,
like walking is something, just any sure. Basic movement. I mean, my road weekends were like, I don't get out of bed until I have to go to the show, where I'm like, what are you?
Yeah.
Where like I'm an inch taller when I get to the show.
You ever check the steps thing on your phone? That's embarrassing sometimes.
I would, yeah.
I've had double digits. I've had days where it's like 73 steps. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank God I had to piss all those times.
Yeah, having an Apple Watch. Like, should we call somebody? No? All right. Yeah, I've had those days, and I'm trying. It's summertime. There's too much to do, too much fun in the world, and I don't want to be incapacitated.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good. Yeah, that's all right.
Gotta pace yourself.
Should we take some of these calls and texts since we've been soliciting them and haven't really gotten to too many of them?
Might as well.
Let's go.
323-364-1541. That's our phone number, Kyle. You can create new contact. Put us in there. 323-364-1541.
Give us a call.
In that order. Thank you. Here we go. This is a pretty good one.
In that
it's
order,
a long one,
gets,
so bear
gets
with
to me.
Me
all the time.
Hey, guys. I'm so glad you're back. My name is Kevin Buckner, and I have been listening to the Boogie Monster for several years. I want to address something Kyle brought up several episodes ago regarding haunted buildings.
All right, motherfucker, what you got for me?
He mentioned that he wanted to hear about newer buildings being haunted.
Yeah.
I have one.
Oh.
He continues, I'm a medical laboratory scientist. Well, good for you. Way to go, Kevin.
We're assigning like this smarmy attitude to this guy for no reason.
Yeah. Well, you think you're better than me?
Get all of this jag off.
The lab I work in used to be located in a building on the southeast corner of Bangerter Highway and 4100 South in West Valley City, Utah. The building was constructed in 1998. One Saturday morning in 2012, I had come into work and I got everything started up. And while quality control tests were running, I went to the little break room that was attached to the lab to eat my breakfast burrito. I was the only person in the building at the time. I sat down to eat, but before I took my first bite, I saw a little girl with blonde hair and pigtails in a red dress peeking around one of the counters right next to the entrance to the lab. I told her that she can't be in there, and she giggled and ran away. I put my food down to follow her to make sure she wasn't there alone. When I stood up, I saw the top of her head over the counter as she left the room. I ran after her, but she was nowhere to be found. All the doors leading to the area I was in were locked from the inside, and I didn't hear any of them open or close. They're all pretty loud, so I would have heard them if that had happened. I had coworkers who also said that they had seen a little blonde girl in a red dress in that area, but she would vanish if they looked directly at her. Other things happened over the years that the clinic and the lab were in that building. Cabinet doors would randomly open and close. We'd hear whispering in empty hallways or disembodied giggling. Stacks of empty tube racks would occasionally topple despite having been stable for several days. There you go. New building, new haunting. Yeah, that's pretty creepy. I mean, it's, I'm not going to say it's a little cliche, but you know, a little girl in a red dress and pigtails, but, that's creepy.
It's gotta be hard. Like, that's one of those things too, where I think that when you're in a place that's already scary, you're more willing to be like, oh, I think there's ghosts in this place because it's old and haunted. Where like, if I just saw a little girl in a new building, I'm like, who took their shitty kid to the work today?
Yeah. Yeah, something about kids being alone in a big building like that. Yes, it's a little unnerving.
I don't... It's hard to get scared in a new building.
Mm-hmm.
From... That's why I'm like, I don't get to go. Yeah. All right, man. Well, be careful in the break room, buddy. It's your breakfast burritos.
Man, I used to get scared a little bit in a new building. When I was in radio years ago, I worked at the best gig I had. I worked at the big station in Atlanta. It's actually the station I grew up listening to, 99X. And I was so stoked to finally get a gig there. But I worked Saturday nights, midnight to 6 a.m. And it was about a 7 or 8 story office building that probably during the day, if I had to guess, housed at least 500 employees. And then on Saturday nights at 2 in the morning, I was the only person in the entire building except for a security guard in the bottom floor. And that was sometimes cool. But then sometimes if I put on a long song, I'd go take a bathroom break or something and then take the long way back. It was like, there was something always kind of unnerving about being one of the only people in a giant building.
Well, okay, yeah, I think that's a different kind of scare.
Mm-hmm.
Is being isolated in a big scary building. Like, I'm trying to think. What is it called?
Hearing stuff.
Thalassophobia is like when people are out at sea looking at the ocean, like understanding how vast and empty it is. Like that's a legit phobia. Oh, this is a dumb story because I can't remember the end of it. There's something I saw recently. There was a video or something that really rattled my cage as far as, I don't know, I think it was like a mountain biking video. Oh, there's some trail by the Golden Gate Bridge, and you see these people mountain bike on it. And I know it's the way the GoPro's set up, but it looks like it's a cliff on either side, and you're riding on 3 inches of trail. And that one, even as I haven't done crazy, crazy shit, but been like, oh, if I fall to the right, I will die. But this one, like, it got me. Like, I had to just turn my phone, like, put my phone down, like, it's upset my stomach.
But yeah, going back to this text, I mean, we've talked about this before, but, you know, why haunted building? Why they always got to be old? I mean, whatever kind of stuff that led to an old building being haunted, I'm sure similar type of stuff is still happening today in newer buildings.
Well, what kind of ghost do you think if the ghost is because of the building? You know, if it's an old building, you pick it. Oh, this building's 300 years old. Somebody from 300 years ago was in here and probably died. They might be here. If it's a new building, but it's on an Indian burial ground.
Yeah, or just anywhere where a different structure existed and maybe something was going on there.
Yeah, so then that's a whole different action then when you're talking about what's buried poltergeist style. You know, we built a house on the grave site. Yeah, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Which could be anywhere.
Yeah.
All right, man. I think that's.
I love thinking about that, though. I love wherever I'm at. We're so programmed to think in modern terms, but like. All right, right now I'm sitting in West Hollywood, California. It's easy to sit here and wonder what was going on here 50 or 100 years ago. That's always interesting, you know. Oh, my building is almost 100 years old. I often think, I wonder who lived here, you know, like how much humanity and how much life experience has taken place here, you know. But often I'll do the same thing and go back thousands of years. You know, what was going on right here on my block 5,000 years ago? I love thinking about shit like that. You know? I think about that when I go hiking and stuff. Like, I like looking at some landscape. I like looking at a mountain, looking at a hill, whatever. And every now and then you'll find yourself in a spot where a vantage point where you don't see any buildings or any cars or even any telephone poles. And I love thinking, like looking up at a mountain and thinking, you know, for the most part, this vantage point, this view has looked the same probably for hundreds, if not thousands of years. I love thinking about shit like that. Like what was going on? Right here,
well, you can take a little trip right down to the old La Brea tar pits and see those struggling, struggling mammoth trying to get out of there. Mm-hmm. I think somebody died in there not too long ago. Like they fell in the pit.
Oh, really?
And it's kind of like, well, all right, that's, you know, now you're part of history. Part of the show.
But yeah, I mean, okay, we could say, you know, if you ask, like, well, why is, when we think of old haunted buildings, we think of, you know, buildings 100 to 300 years ago. And I know there may not be many buildings that fall under this criteria, but like, what if there's any ghosts from thousands of years ago? You know what I mean? Like, that's interesting.
Well,
being haunted for thousands of years.
That's my issue, is that ghosts are always from a certain, There's no caveman ghost. We have an idea of what ghosts are supposed to look like, and it's always so manufactured by the human imagination. It's never a caveman. You know, it's never Cro-Magnon.
That'd be scary as shit.
And why is it people that are always ghosts or pets that people miss? Why is it never just a horse from the plains?
Yeah.
You know, why isn't your house haunted by 1,000 raccoons? Why is it just your dog that died?
That'd be terrible.
That's what I'm saying about, like, I've sadly thought about these things so much from this podcast that I've thought about it too much, and it's taken the imagination and the joy out of it. But because why is it always a ghost from the Victorian era? Like, why not earlier than that? Why not earlier than that? Mm-hmm. Why is it only the ghost that whose name was on the lease that gets to haunt the house, but not who had the property before?
Yeah, it's fascinating. We got another text that's kind of along these lines. Hey guys, longtime Boogie Monster listener, got a question for you. I'm not religious at all. In fact, I'm an atheist. Therefore, I don't believe in the supernatural because I feel those things are connected. I don't think it's possible to believe in ghosts without believing in a higher power. Both deal with life after death in ways that go against science, and both have enthusiastic believers that want those things to be real. Do you agree, or do you think it's possible to separate the supernatural from religious beliefs? Chris in Colorado. Thank you, Chris. That's a great damn question. Can you believe in ghosts and be an atheist? I feel like the natural tendency is his angle here, where you can't, those two things are incongruous. But I look at it this way with many of our boogie monster related topics: who the fuck knows? I mean, could the afterlife be separate from any type of spirituality? I mean, my thing is, I know enough to know I don't know shit. So there's no telling what may or may not be going on in the next realm.
Well, okay. I think the question is, if you're thinking of ghosts in the terms of, oh, this is your spirit or your soul, then that plays into the theist mindset that when you die, you have a spirit that goes to heaven or hell or something like that. Mm-hmm. If you believe in ghosts, is it like this energy remnant, you know, like when, whatever you want to, you stare at an image too long and then you close your eyes and you still see it.
Sure. More science and less spiritual.
Yeah. It depends on what you think of the ghost. If you think of ghosts as, like I thought, if it's not in this traditional, it looks like the same thing. It looks like the person you know, but you could see through them. Not that kind of ghost, but in the fact that we're made up of electrical energy and energy gets transferred. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure any minor amount of science would prove me wrong, but like if you die, you know, you have a disease or old age, you know, your battery runs out, much like the, and any battery runs out. It ran out of energy by all the, but if it's terminated unsuspectingly, then that energy goes somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm
that's
not
an
saying,
interesting variable.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's like I'm not saying like it's a thing with two arms and two legs walking around saying boo. I'm just saying like, oh yeah, the lights flicker. I don't know. But that's the only way I can think it may exist is in the sense of I have electricity and energy inside of you.
Yeah. Well, is that a common factor amongst possible ghosts? It seems to be, at least anecdotally, as far as... I've never thought about it. That's a good point. Like, an old person who dies of natural causes. And it's just a just kind of a normal descent. And then, like you say, the battery is finally reached to zero.
Yeah.
As opposed to a younger person dying an unexpected death.
Yeah.
Would that person now be more likely to be a ghost just because of the...
Well...
The energy. Yeah.
Well, and that's my pseudo-hack science explanation for, oh, when there's a tragic death, that's when people think there's ghosts. Or it's also because when there's a tragic death, people want to come up with some narrative because they're heartbroken.
Yeah.
Or in any time. I mean, I think ghosts, the idea of ghosts primarily come from scary stories or people that are heartbroken and hope for like signs from the beyond. Hope for this because nobody knows what's going to happen. And that's sure. Dictated, you know, it's a reason your churches exist. A lot of religion exists is to a big component of that is answering what happens afterwards or using what happens afterwards to control how you behave now. Which is so then I can see, if you're not religious, can you still believe in ghosts? Not in that mm-hmm. sense, yeah. If you think it's all about a heaven or a hell or something, then yeah. But if you think that a little flash of electricity goes out in the world and can fuck around with stuff later, maybe. I don't know. That is up for you to answer, my friend.
Yeah. It's a fascinating question. It's a fascinating concept. The afterlife, a different realm.
Yeah, I mean, the best way it's somebody explains like, well, where were you before you were born? Mm-hmm. And the way you can't answer that, that's what's going to happen afterwards. I rode bikes with my pal Jake, and we're having lunch after the ride today, and I know the topic of burials come up or something, and they're just about grandiose cemetery plots and.
Mm-hmm.
How? I mean, I get they're there for the living to go mourn, but then you go to these places where it's the most gaudy, like the tackiest fucking tombstone. Like, I don't want to be disrespectful if like you want to celebrate somebody's life, so you build this temple to them in the afterlife. But so much of it seems like it's in a cemetery. Like, put it at your house.
Yeah.
Or put it somewhere.
That's what country folks do.
Yeah, and I guess maybe when you think, well, you might move houses, but if the cemetery is not going to go anywhere. I'm answering my questions as I set up. But when it's just, like, so ridiculously huge in the sense of what the other, like, oh, here's everybody's headstone in this area. They're this big. They're all modest, and then here's your big stoop. Like, you look like an asshole even in death. You look like a jerk.
Yeah. I always thought that was a bit arrogant, a bit pompous. But, you know, it's also your last expense, your last form of expression.
Well, choice either.
True. That's true, yeah.
And how, I mean, I hope somebody, I was telling my buddy Jake, like, something be the idea of like writing bits down and how sometimes, you know, you just write jokes, like, I'll never say this, but I got to write it down in case it fits somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And last night, it's like, oh, I'll never say this, but it's like, I'm going to have a natural burial. I'm going to kill myself in the woods. I was like, yeah, it's done too many. Suicide jokes in my set. Like now it's lost its pizzazz, but I think it's a silly.
Become some leaf litter.
I honestly just get what you can out of me.
You got any preference on that? You ever thought about that?
Yeah, part me out.
Mm-hmm.
Get what's good about me. If there's any usable bits, take them. Get them. And then, I can roast me and toast me, man.
Yeah, I'm indifferent. I don't really care.
Sprinkle me in a Portillo's parking lot. Sprinkle me right in a drive-thru during lunchtime. It's Canaan. We're dragging him through the garden.
Is that what they say? Is that Portillo's code for
no? That's what nobody's ever said. And I saw some food show like, and if you run it with everything, ask him to drag it through the garden. Why don't you ask him to take you outside and kick your ass? That's what it sounds like.
That's what they do at the Varsity in Atlanta, the world famous Varsity. If you order a hot dog with everything, it's a naked dog, walk it through the garden.
Yeah, I guess you could just say with everything too, and not sound like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, well, where's the fun in that?
Eating the hot dog is the fun part. Jumbo chili dog, cheese and onions, one regular. That was my go-to order at Portillo's.
Oh, yeah? Get one cheese, one regular?
One regular dog with everything, one jumbo chili dog with cheese and onions.
Mm, I'm so fucking hungry.
Old one meal a day, Dave. It's not a good. It's not. I know you're losing weight.
Starting to catch up.
But it's not healthy.
You don't know that.
I can't be.
You don't know nothing.
You're supposed to. You don't know shit. You never knew shit. You ain't gonna know shit.
No, I haven't done a ton of research, but I do think one meal a day, something.
I'm fine. Somebody blow this Diet Coke up my ass. I'm about to pass out.
I don't know if one meal a day is what we should be doing, but also I don't necessarily think three meals a day is what we should be doing. I think that's
how about two? How about that convenient number between one and three?
Yeah.
I eat about two meals a day.
I mean, I think back. Like how much I used to eat, and you know, hold your jokes. But I mean, like when I was a teenager in my 20s, like it was just like the thought of skipping breakfast was like, why? What are you crazy? Mm-hmm. Like I used to eat a full breakfast, a full lunch, and a full dinner, and it's like, God damn! Like now that I'm really more conscious about all that, it's like, God, I used to eat 4,000 calories a day on the regular.
Because you could, though. You were a kid. You were moving all the time.
Yeah. But, yeah, it started to catch up with me.
Yeah.
You know what's gotten me lately? It's the late night. The late night snacking. That's the, like, literally, it's easier for me. Like, I eat around 4 o'clock every day. And the buildup to that is not nearly as bad as the come down. Like, if I eat at 4... then about 9 or 10, which is also the time that I'm usually smoking some weed, man, those munchies, those cravings.
Yeah, dude. Like,
so I've been loading up on fucking – that's why last time I was talking about that feta dip. So I've been trying to do, you know, little kind of healthy dips with the raw veggies late at night. But, yeah, those late night cravings.
Get a hummus in there, yeah. Why'd you almost fight somebody at the post office? Because that's the oldest person sentence I could think of saying.
I'm pulling out of the post office, right? And it's one way in, one way, or like one way. Like you enter through that entrance and it's one way, and you exit through this entrance over here and it's one way. Well, I'm trying to turn left out of the parking lot, and a guy's trying to turn right into me, but there is no room because it's only one thing.
Okay.
And I didn't do it. All I did was give him like the shrug, kind of the what the fuck you doing?
Yeah.
And we kind of had a little standoff. And finally, I just turned in front of him because he kept like he couldn't fit, but also there was nowhere for me to move. So finally, I just kind of weasel out of his way. And as I'm passing, I get the fucking F word. He called me the F word. I don't like to say that word.
Yeah. Also, that's an aggressive. So there's so many words for traffic road rage.
Yeah.
But to go with calling somebody a gay slur.
So then I'm at the red light, and I'm just thinking about it. So I slam a U-turn, and I go back.
Oh, no.
And I pull up on the curb. He's now in the parking lot. So I'm outside on the curb, and I roll my window down. He's unloading something. He's driving a Audi Audi SUV, probably 35-ish. I go, hey. And he looks at me, and I go, what's our problem? That's my new line I've been using a lot. What's our problem?
I like that. It's inclusive.
I go, hey, what's our problem? And he goes, what? And then I go, so I'm a, and I said it back to him. I'm an F word. I said, I'm an F word because you're going in the wrong way. And he goes, I didn't call you that. And I go, you sure fucking did. And then I said, why don't we figure this out? You want to? That's also my fun line. You want to figure this out. And he just fucking stared at me and didn't say shit. I think he was surprised that I circled back.
Yeah, nobody expects the follow-up.
Yeah, and he just stared at me. I go, yeah, that's what I thought. Have a good day. And just drove off. But, like, fucking F-word? Because, now, if I do some dickhead shit out in the world sometimes behind the wheel. But... buddy, what the fuck am I supposed to do? You're trying to come in the wrong way on a one-way street. I'm an F-word because you're a fucking idiot?
I am.
And then he denied it. He goes, I didn't call you that. I was like, yeah, you the fuck you did. And I go, let's figure this out.
I am.
He just stared at me.
I am really trying to get my head ready for driving back in L.A. next week.
It's insane. It's gotten worse. Everybody's got their head directly up their fucking ass.
I was losing it the other day because everybody's going five under here, and I'm losing. I'm like, we can at least go the speed limit. There's nobody in front of you, and nobody even wants to. Like, that's where I'm losing my mind. But I'm like, all right, we're going to have to tone it way down when I'm there for a few days. So
it's rough, man. It's rough. Here's a very L.A. move. You know, almost everywhere you go, you got multiple lanes, like two or three lanes in the same direction. There's just been an epidemic of people turning right from the center lane. Like, buddy, you got your whole lane over there. You could have done that. Like, that happens 10 times a week. Like, lanes 1, 2, and 3, I'm in the center lane. The guy in front of me is in the center lane, and just out of nowhere, right-hand turn. It's like, dude, at least get over in the far right lane first. I mean, it's insane how much people have their head up their ass here. And I mean, I'm sure it might be everywhere, but, like, every fucking red light, there's a goddamn 5 Mississippi when it turns green. Just all lanes. Just, huh? Oh, okay, I'll go now. Just, I mean, I know what it is. It's obvious, sound like a fucking hack comedian, but, like, everybody's got their head down in their phone. Like, that's my thing. Yeah. I really do try to adhere to this. This is a good rule of thumb, and I know it's easier said than done, but I try not to look at my phone when I'm moving in any fashion. If I'm driving or if I'm walking, that's the other thing. People walking across major intersections, shuffling their feet, staring down at their phone. And it's like, yeah, you got the right of way, but tell that to the fucking drunk who's running the red light right now and about to fucking get. Like, there's just no survival instincts. There's no.
No, of course. It's Los Angeles.
It's just everybody's just shuffling, staring at their phone in the middle of a major intersection
they're getting an audition, buddy. Some important news there. That's what I've always said.
That just blows my mind.
That's what I've always said. I mean, of all the crime in Los Angeles, the most dangerous thing is an actor late for an audition.
Oh, yeah. Out of my way.
A lot of people.
And then I vented about this, I think. We talked about the bicycles, but like any motorized or unmotorized two-wheel vehicle, at least in Los Angeles, I guess there's a new law I wasn't aware of. You don't have to stop at red lights or stop signs. Vespas, motorcycles, bicycles, fucking Lime scooters. That red light don't pertain to me. I'm on a Lime scooter. Out of my way.
Well,
I'm on a Vespa.
They're testing that idea of energy transference.
Ugh. I mean, it really, like, that. I know that that's something I have to work on. You know, Katie's always riding my ass about road rage. And I mean, I do pretty good, but then, you know, it's like, my God, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? You stupid asshole. Get out of the fucking way.
I'm not saying this to make you even more bad, but a lot of people on Reddit are saying Chipotle's got a passable white queso dip.
Yes, I knew about that. I forgot. But yeah, okay. I've had that. It's okay. I've had that. I didn't know if it was a special or if it's a regular on the menu or what. But
somebody also mentioned Gordo's queso at Walmart. It's the closest you'll find.
So, I don't shop at Walmart.
So, yeah. Or a place called Salsa.
I haven't been into
Beer,
Walmart in
North
years.
Hollywood.
What's it called?
Salsa and Beer in North Hollywood.
Okay. And I've obviously, I've tried to make my own, but man, queso, a lot harder to make than you would think. You got to really, it's a lot of chemistry involved. Got to really kind of, you know, it'll thicken up on you. It's like working with sheetrock mud. You got to really be careful.
Yeah, it's egg biscuits and gravy. You gotta move fast on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh boy. Everything else going all right?
Yeah, man. I gotta pack it up. I gotta get ready for my southern trek. I mean, this is coming
Where
out.
Are you going?
This is coming out tomorrow, on the 6th. I'll be in Medford, Oregon tonight. Medford, Oregon, somewhere. I don't know. Google it. I don't even know yet. Sacramento, one of my Sacramento punchline all weekend, one of my favorite clubs to play. A few of the shows already sold out. Thank you for that.
Good job.
And then just added Bakersfield on a Sunday, last minute, and it's Mother's Day. So I don't know if anybody will be there. But if you are, Sunday night, happy Mother's Day.
That's a fun club.
Come spend it with this mother. Yeah. Yeah, it is a fun club. Yeah, what are you doing? See, you want to come to Bakersfield on Sunday?
Go see Buck Owens' old place.
Oh, yeah.
The restaurant, but I also went by his old house last time I was there. It overlooks one of the Kern oil field.
Okay. Oh, that Bakersfield sound, man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Little Buck Owens, little Merle Haggard, little Dwight Yoakam. A lot going on in Bakersfield back in the day. Nashville West.
Yeah, it was
what they would call it.
Was the spot. Well, I'll be in Nashville West this Sunday night then.
Good job, buddy.
What do you got? What's going on with you? Back on the scenes, man. Doing some bits, doing some jokes?
Yeah, I've been floating around town a little bit. Nothing too impressive. Yeah. Remembering how much I hate doing some of these shows around here.
Yeah, you know? Open mics. I'll do Jonah Ray's show on Tuesday night when I'm there, and Brooks Whelan's show in Echo Park on Wednesday night too. So Scratch Pad Tuesday and the Butcher Bar show on Wednesday.
I hear that Butcher Bar is a good show.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. It's I was gonna make a fake Netflix as a joke flyer. Just for my own shows. Because it's like every fucking show in L.A. is a part of the Netflix festival, I think, just because they gave them the graphics to use.
Sure.
But somebody else beat me to it, and there was a very... some of it was inside jokes, but somebody made one. It was like a Steve Hofstetter one. It said, the fake crowd work show. I was like, well, I'm not saying it, but I'm laughing at it.
Oh boy!
But yeah, they made a few of them. They made a few fake ones that I thought were entertaining. But
yeah, there's a lot going on this week with that. I actually just got spammed discounted Louis C.K. tickets tonight at the Hollywood Bowl. I guess he's having trouble filling up the gigantic Hollywood Bowl.
Well, it's tough, you know, it's hard to see somebody beat off when you're that far back in an arena. That's why the art form works better in a small club.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Can't even see what he's doing with his dick that far away.
Oh, good move, dude. Good move.
Well, all right, buddy. I think we should record in-person one next week. What do you say?
Yeah. Come on by the record room. We'll chew the fat.
It's going to be a couple idiots in person. I'll try not to accidentally take a bunch of mushrooms this time.
I'll make you some yogurt. It'll be good.
Yeah, give me some. It's yogurt. It's got fruit in it. You put other fruit in it. It's my recipe. Get you some yogurt.
Little pleasures.
Put a different fruit that's in there already. Surprise yourself.
All right, buddy. Dave's Record Room on Instagram. I'm moving units. You want to buy some of my records? Follow me at Dave's Record Room.
Buy his records.
Yeah. And I don't put, I've been getting a lot of offers. I'm not here to haggle. I don't want to sell any of these records.
I'm not here to haggle.
I'm not here to negotiate. I'm not here to haggle. No fucking deals. I've had several people reach out and offer me half of what I'm asking. Like, no, this is not a flea market.
Do you have it marked as firm, as pricing's firm?
No, but it's I gotta start putting that in.
You gotta put that. I always would, like, if I was doing bike stuff, I would always put Firm or anything I was selling. For then people would haggle, and so then the price would go up after the haggle.
Yeah, yeah.
So $100. How about 50? How about 125? Fucking jerk. Whatever, man.
It's a jerk surtax.
Yeah.
Surcharge.
Yeah. I don't need the money. I'm just trying to get rid of stuff.
That's the thing. I don't want to get rid of any of these, but I'm just trying to sell to make some room. So I'm not. I have no motivation to cut you a deal.
If you want
to
ignore this word firm, the net price goes up. Well, good luck not haggling with these people out in the world, Dave. I gotta go pass out for a while. Your boy's hitting a Cinco de Mayo wall.
There you go, buddy. How many of those Modelos you put down?
Just one. It was the big hot dogs that got me.
Okay.
Because I got the bacon and cheese on them. I got onion rings with them. They're burnt.
You got bacon on the hot dog?
Fake everything. Okay. Imposter everything.
Okay. Although that I would respect that if you got the vegan dog with the real bacon.
No,
it's just
I'm
like
trying to.
Pick your battles.
Listen, we got to wear a condom, but could you spit in my asshole? It's like, no, man. Defeats the purpose. I don't even know if what I said makes sense. I'm so tired. I gotta go.
All right, you fucking dirty skank.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you. I'll see you next week in person.
Giddy up, buddy. You betcha.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.